case number 17-154.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. I was the advocate for this case at hearing, and therefore Gene Galvin is the independent advisor in this matter. In 2012 and 2013, Tim Truitt was the chief of police of the City of Globe Police Department. And it was at that time that conduct occurred that was brought to Post's attention. A hearing was held. I was the advocate, and the judge issued a 21-page decision and order. You have a copy of it in your board packet. The judge concluded and sustained that all six allegations that were alleged by Post were substantiated and in violation of Post rules. Specifically, Post established cause to discipline Tim Truitt's certification because he committed misrepresentation under A7, and specifically ARS 132311A. He also committed misrepresentations in submitting accounting statements in violation of Post Rule A8. And then in regards to counts 5 and 6, the judge sustained violations of Post Rules A8, nonfeasance, and A9, a violation of statute. And just by way of background, it's a long decision, but I can summarize it. In 2011, Tim Truitt and his wife started a private school. They applied for ESA scholarships from the Arizona Department of Education. In 2013, Tim Truitt signed a ESA agreement with the Arizona Department of Education for his daughter for the 2013-2014 school year. But subsequently, his daughter was no longer enrolled in a qualified school, but he continued to accept ESA funds. The Arizona Department of Education began investigating Tim Truitt and his wife's use of state funds, and the Arizona Department of Education subsequently turned the investigation over to the Attorney General's office. What happened procedurally is eventually the Arizona Attorney General's office filed a complaint in Superior Court, and a named defendant in the case was Tim Truitt. After the complaint was filed and served, at some point a settlement agreement was reached called a consent judgment, where the state of Arizona and the Truitts and the other named defendants entered into a settlement, and sanctions were imposed. That occurred, that's a lot of talk there, and that occurred in July of 2014. But what happened next is pertinent to the case. Within the next year, in August of 2015, Tim Truitt applied for a job with the Department of Economic Security, and he applied for a job with the Office of Special Investigations as an Internal Affairs Sergeant. And to get that job, you have to complete an Arizona Post personal history form, as everyone else does when they're applying for law enforcement. And in his personal history questionnaire, he did not disclose the consumer fraud claim by the Attorney General's office or the consent judgment that he actually signed and entered into with the other named defendants. He never disclosed that in the hiring packet. It was never disclosed by him at all. So he was hired, and he was hired in Internal Affairs. 2 years later, in August of 2017, Tim Truitt applied for a promotion within his agency, and a panel member recognized his name from the 2014 consumer fraud lawsuit. That's how it was brought to the attention of his agency. The Arizona Department of Economic Security investigated. They had an investigator conduct an investigation. Just please bear with me for a minute. And so the investigation concluded that Tim Truitt was, his employer concluded that Tim Truitt was dishonest as to a material fact, not disclosing the civil lawsuit and the civil settlement in the hiring process. And so, in part, this case is a hiring case. It's a hiring process case. And I know the board, last month, we had an animated case involving hiring. This case is unique in the sense that the judge concluded, based on the evidence, that Tim Truitt lied about a material fact about his prior serious lawsuits, didn't disclose it. He did not disclose it during the hiring process. Did not disclose it pre-polygraph, did not disclose it in polygraph, got hired, still did not disclose it, and it was accidentally discovered. The judge concludes that conduct is in violation of POST rules. The recommendation of POST is revocation.
Comments or questions?
Mr. Chairman, Joe Porfiri, as the Arizona Department of Corrections, the Inspector General's office completed the investigation on this individual, I recuse myself.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, Paul Ayler, I recuse myself.
All right.
I believe that Tim True is here. He may want to speak.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, members of the board.
Would you identify yourself for the record?
Timothy Truitt.
Okay.
Members of the board, I've been in law enforcement since 1993, started with Arizona Department of Public Safety. I have served honorably as an officer for 26 years until I retired in January of this year. I left voluntarily from DES. I did not like the environment there, and I went to work for State Farm, where I am still employed. This case has been, and just listening to his statement, has been completely full of misstatements from the time I actually found out that what the allegations were against me. I was going through some processes for promotional opportunities at DES. I felt there were some conflicts of interest that had come up, and I reported them. And all of a sudden, within less than a week of the second application process I went through, I was brought in and told that I was being placed on administrative leave, and I was sent home for 2 months with no word, so no indication of what the allegations were. Once I finally found out, I was kind of relieved because I thought, oh, this is about my wife's school that she started. When we lived in Maricopa, I started Maricopa back in 2007, right after they started daytime operations of patrol when it was a brand new fledgling police department. My wife was a double master's in education and curriculum. We also have six children, three of which are special needs kids. Four of my six children are adopted, three with profound special needs. She had other friends in that community who encouraged her to start this school because of the work she was doing with our kids, and other therapists were relaying that information to other people in the community. So she ultimately started a special needs school. I did not start it. I was, and that was something they kept alleging, was that I was, president of this school. And I said, no, that's not the case. But she started the school. A parent ultimately complained at some point down the road because of some personal disagreement. Made a complaint to the Department of Ed that got transferred over to the Attorney General's office. Attorney General's office started an investigation into her school by making calls to every parent in the school, basically advising them, hey, we're doing an investigation on the school, please don't say anything about it. But obviously a lot of them told her about it, and they requested a plethora of documents and things, not ever telling her what the allegation was. Ultimately, they decided, like, that the school was advertising as tuition-free in violation because they were accepting tuition through the auspices of using ESA grants. What an ESA grant was is that it's basically parents of special needs kids at that time could use 90% of the funding that their child would get in the public school setting to send their kids to private schools. So she knew every single parent, and every single parent there knew exactly that they were using ESA grants for tuition. And when we and when the school met with the Attorney General's office, they said, "Hey, that's not a problem. We don't have to list it as tuition free. All my wife meant was that you don't have to pay anything extra out of pocket. All we're going to accept is whatever the state gives you for the ESA grant, and that would satisfy your tuition." So we didn't have any she didn't have any problem changing that statement, but yet they kept persisting, and they ultimately offered her a settlement, asked her if she could accept about a penalty, I guess, of $5,000. Well, from the beginning of their investigation, from the moment they investigated, she basically lost about half of her families within a week because where there's smoke, there's fire, you know. So they start calling, say, "Hey, we're investigating the school. Don't say anything." Well, a bunch of families just packed up and took off and left. So the investigation already devastated her school, which was doing phenomenal work for special needs kids. And then now they wanted $5,000. So we had she had her attorney ask them for consideration to see if they could either reduce or eliminate the fine because she didn't have a lot of money. My wife never actually took any salary while she was doing this work. I mean, it wasn't her intention.
Wrap it up a little bit, appreciate it.
So anyway, we never heard anything back until all of a sudden they filed suit against us. We never got a response to our counteroffer. And at some point we were going through all this. My wife was the one that was interacting with the Attorney General's office, and her attorney was back interacting with them. I never interacted with them. When they came to us with the consent decree, what it was explained to me from my wife and the attorney was, "Hey, this is what we're agreeing with." And my wife said, "We got to take this because we don't have any more finances." They came back with a $12,000 offer for us to settle, which my wife says, "Well, that's more than the $5,000, but I don't think I can afford to keep defending this." So we accepted that, and I thought, my understanding was that the consent decree was me, you know, any signature that I had on it was explained to me was that I was just saying, "Hey, I'm her husband, it's a community property state. I've got to, you know, agree that I owe, along with Desiree, the money for that we're paying back the state for this investigation." In regards to the in regards to their allegations about me signing to accept funds for the school, we moved to Globe when I became chief in the end of 2013. So the kids were still members of Rise and Shine School, but when we went to Globe, my wife was the owner of the school, and she continued educating them with the same curriculum, the same everything that she was using when we were in Maricopa. And she tried to point out to the Department of Education, I guess they had an issue with her and they were transacting with her through email, that, "Hey, you guys are not no longer located in Maricopa, therefore your kids don't qualify to go to the school." And she sent them back examples that we had done off-site. The school had done off-site education for other students who were like homebound in Maricopa. So what's the difference? Especially, she's like, "I'm not just a parent who like left the school. I'm the owner. So all the curriculum that I'm developing for the school for people back in Maricopa is no different than what we have here." And she never got an ultimate response from them. Yet, for some reason, they're saying that our accepting of the ESA funds going forward from that point was an error and inappropriate. Yet, they never asked for the funds back. We never repaid those funds. We paid the consent decree. And part of the consent decree was never designated it, say, it says, hey, this is something that has to go back to the state.
Mr. Truitt, I think if we can just wrap it up with the failure to disclose the consumer fraud complaint.
As
the part of if the public expects peace officers to provide complete information and not to materially represent their qualifications on applications. I think if you can just wrap it up with a statement on that for us,
sure.
I'd appreciate it.
When I filled out my application, it didn't even dawn to me to even list that. I didn't think about it as a civil lawsuit. I filled that out for so many years. I've had the same information on it for so many years. I didn't think of the suit as even being really involved with me. I thought it was involved with my wife and her school. From my discussion on that, it's like, yeah, maybe I should read the fine print on stuff, but your wife's like, hey, you need to sign this. We got to agree to this. This is what it is. You're my husband. Apparently, you're responsible for the money as well. So I signed that. I didn't even think of it. I have no problem or qualms talking about this, and you can tell it gets me worked up. And honestly, I mean, I don't have any desire I'm out of law enforcement. I don't have any desire to remain in law enforcement. So I don't need to, I'm not concerned about my certification in that regard. I'm concerned about it because this bothers me as somebody who's served law enforcement with integrity for 26 years. And I feel that the whole investigation was a railroad the whole time along.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Is there any questions or comments? Thank you for your comments. And with that, I would ask for a motion on this case, 17-154. Further discussion on this, sir?
I have a question. Do we know what lapse date would be?
From my records, Mr. Chairman, Chief Rodwell, it looks like it would be January 4th of 2022. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, a question for Mr. Brackle. So the agreement that was signed, it signed that it does not admit any fraud or wrongdoing in the consent agreement.
That's correct. The consent agreement is a settlement agreement, and there was no admission of liability, and that is the law, and that was pointed out to the judge. I provided her with that law. So her decision is not based on the fact that Tim Truitt signed the consent judgment that he entered into as one of the defendants in the criminal proceeding or in the civil proceeding filed by the Attorney General's office. Her decision and order is based on the facts of the case that he has signed that ESA agreement where he was responsible for state funds and he was responsible for the accounting and of declining the state funds when the circumstances changed. And the judge concluded that that's what happened in this case.
Further questions?
I think it's got a motion. I move to accept the administrative law judge's findings of facts and conclusions of law and place a sanction of suspension to lapse January 4th, 2022.
I have a motion. Is there a second to that?
Don Bischoff, I'll second the motion.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any more discussion on that motion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And the motion carries. Thank you very much. We're moving on to the next. Mr. Racto, 19-039.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. In front of you is a proposed consent agreement involving a Mesa police officer, Monique Cervantes. In summary, she queried databases for personal reasons while employed with the Mesa Police Department. She queried a CGIS, NCIC, and some motor vehicle department databases involving ex-relationships. During the internal investigation, Ms. Cervantes admitted to what she did, her conduct. She was honest about the violations. So in front of you is a consent agreement proposed stipulating that Ms. Cervantes' conduct was in violation of post rules. And the proposed discipline is for 12 months, and that would start on March 16th, 2019, and it will continue into 2020 to March 15th, 2020. A 12-month suspension is consistent with prior post-discipline for this type of case.
Thank you, sir. Questions or comments?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Brackett, was this ever submitted for possible prosecution? Was it ever investigated criminally since it is a...
Let me check my notes.
I think in Title 41.
I can tell you, Mr. Eiler, that there were no charges. There was not a conviction or settlement or criminal settlement in this matter. And maybe the compliance specialist can clarify for me.
Yes, they filed a felony count that it was laid down.
Thank you, Ms. Ethel. Any other comments or questions? If none, may I have a motion, please?
Chairman, for Pittman, I move to accept the consent agreement for a 12-month suspension of peace officer certification beginning on March 16, 2019. And then on March 15th, 2020.
I have a motion and a second. Further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? One opposed, and the motion carries. Thank you very much. And we're going to move on to the next case number 19-022. Ms. Haas, good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Kathy Haas, one of your compliance specialists. Stephen Perko was a Tucson Police Department recruit and in the Academy at Celesti when information relating to his prior employment at Enterprise Rent-A-Car was received. This information, along with a review of his background, revealed concerns with untruthfulness. The background unit gathered additional information not available when he was recommended for hire, which revealed further concerns with untruthfulness as it related to employment, criminal acts, and multiple civil judgments and evictions on his record. He had a propensity for minimizing negative impact and misrepresenting facts in these areas on multiple documents and in interviews with the Tucson Police Department and the Pima County Sheriff's Department. Perko resigned prior to the conclusion of his professional standards interview. The investigation was closed as sustained in lieu of discipline. Had he not resigned, the sanction would have been termination. The board initiated proceedings at the September board meeting. Arizona Post staff researched similar fact-based circumstances and recommends denial of certification. Any questions?
No questions. May I have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, Joe Perry, I make a motion that the board accept the conclusion by the compliance review and deny certification.
I have a motion. Is there a second, please?
I'll leave it on a second.
A motion and a second. Further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Jacobs, good morning. We're on case number 19-094.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the board, Steve Jacobs, compliance specialist. On September 18th of 2019, the board voted to initiate proceedings against the peace officer certification of Maricopa County Sheriff's Deputy Douglas Brimmer. It was noted on that day that on May 24th of 2018, Deputy Brimmer was dishonest when he affirmed his supervisor while he was on patrol duties that he had struck a tree causing damage to his vehicle. It was also noted that he tampered with evidence when he intentionally sideswiped a tree you can seal having earlier struck a metal fence post. It was also noted that he tampered with evidence when he falsely reported an accident location being at a tree stump in the desert instead of the middle fence post adjacent to the BNSF railroad tracks, and that he was dishonest to supervisors investigating the vehicle accident when they realized that something other than a tree had been struck, that he denied then of having used the tree to disguise the damage to the vehicle. A notice of complaint was mailed September 19th and signed for on September 21st. Deputy Brimmer did not request a hearing, nor has he contacted Post regarding any matter. Are there any questions? Except I'm supposed to make a recommendation. And similar facts in the past, the board has revoked certification for similar behavior.
Okay. Comments or questions?
Mr. Chairman, Chris Pittman, I need to recuse myself.
Okay. After we accept that, may I have a motion?
Paul Ehler, I'll make a motion to accept the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and impose a sanction of verification.
Don Bischoff, second.
A motion and a second. Discussion? Having none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Jacobs, we're moving on to 19-104.
Again, on September 18th, 2019, the board voted to deny Kingman Police Recruit David Guerrera Peace Officer certification for violating Post rules. It was noted on that date that on July 24th, 2019, Recruit Guerrera committed child abuse when he used his knuckle to strike his 7-year-old son in the forehead, causing the contusion. Again, a notice of complaint was mailed on September 19th to 29 and signed for by the recruit on September 21st. He has not requested a hearing nor responded to the complaint. In similar fact-based cases, the board has revoked certification.
Comments or questions for Mr. Jacobs?
Mr. Chairman, I recuse myself as my agency conducted the investigation.
Mr. Chairman, can I just clarify, it's not a revocation, it's a denial.
A denial, yes. Thank
denial.
You, sir.
Thank you for the correction. Any other comments or questions? Having none, we have a motion.
Paul Ehler, I'll make a motion that we accept the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and deny certification.
Chris Pittman, second.
I have a motion and a second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And the motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Jacobs. All right. Along with the new cases, morning, Mr. Caldwell, we're on 19-193.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Billy Caldwell, one of your compliance specialists. So the first case I have for you today is a reference to Charles Arwacki, lieutenant of the Buckeye Police Department. In September 2017, an anonymous letter was sent to the city of Buckeye alleging misconduct on the part of various members of the police department, including Lieutenant Arlack, who at the time was the records management system administrator and also responsible for crime classification and crime reporting for the agency. An internal investigation commissioned by the city determined Lieutenant Arlack's inadequate knowledge of uniform crime reporting standards and failure to properly supervise subordinates directly affected the underreporting of crimes, specifically Part 1 crimes, for the city of Buckeye. For example, the report determined that in 2017, 34 incidents classified as simple assaults actually should have been classified as aggravated assaults, and Lieutenant Arlack was responsible for misclassifying 16 of those. Ultimately, the city of Buckeye sustained policy violations against Lieutenant Arlack, and he was given a 20-hour suspension. Post staff has researched similar fact-based circumstances and cases and recommends to the board that you take no action with agency discretion. I'd be glad to answer any questions that y'all might have about this case.
Having no comments or questions, may I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I do have one question.
Yes,
Mr. Caldwell.
Sir.
The findings of the alteration of the reporting codes, was the finding that that was done intentionally or...
The sustained allegations against Lieutenant Arlack by the city specifically said there's no malice involved, and from reading the Copeland report, which was an investigating agency, there was no substantiation of the fact that there was any intentional act on his part to artificially lower crime statistics. They sort of put the word, or the word used was incompetence in his understanding of UCR reporting classifications and guidelines.
Any other comments or questions?
Mr. Chairman, Department of Corrections, it is reported that the allegation initiated anonymously was it ever determined as to who made the allegation?
To my understanding, no, the complainant remained anonymous.
Thank you, sir. We have a motion, please.
Chairman, first in reference to 19193, I move that the board take no action with agency discretion.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Matt Medina, I'll second that.
And a motion and a second. Is there any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And the motion carries.
Mr. Chairman. Mark Brechtel.
Yes, sir.
Just if it could be noted on the record that Chief Rod Bell did not participate in this vote and was not present for it.
Let that be recorded. And we're going to move on to the next case, case number 19192. Mr. Caldwell.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, the same anonymous letter that initiated the investigation of Lieutenant Arlack's behavior and actions also implicated Buckeye Police Chief Hall in misconduct. The investigation sustained four allegations against him. One sustained allegation was that Chief Hall started and ran a security business with a subordinate from the PD in violation of policy. Another sustained allegation was that Chief Hall, while working for Buckeye PD, sent and received hundreds of messages from his work email address between February 2014 and April 2017. That these messages were related to private security and courier businesses with which he was affiliated. Another sustained allegation was at the scene of a traffic collision, Chief Hall took a photograph of one of the involved parties and later showed this photo for a purpose that was not law enforcement related. And the fourth sustained allegation was that Chief Hall failed to adequately supervise staff members responsible for crime reporting in his agency. This lack of supervision resulted in the underreporting of crimes and an artificially low crime rate for the city. Chief Hall was given a 40-hour suspension. Arizona Post staff researched similar fact-based circumstances and cases and recommends to the board that you take no action with agency discretion. I'd be glad to answer any questions that y'all might have about this case.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Caldwell, in your write-up on this, under the case notes, you indicate conflict of interest, and it says that this company Blue Knights and this partnership presented a real or perceived conflict of interest. Do you
yes,
have
sir.
Any other information on what could have been a real conflict of
interest? My understanding from reading the report, sir, is that since he started the business with a subordinate and continued to run the business with a subordinate and still work for the agency, that this could be a perceived issue among other members of the Buckeye Police Department. You know, the chief is running a security agency with a person that he can supervise. And that was found to be a violation of policy of the city of Buckeye.
Anything else?
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, question, Mr. Caldwell. So if the recommendation is agency discretion and he's the chief, then what agency is overseeing that? Is it the city manager's office? Or
The city manager, I guess, would be his supervisor.
Any other questions or comments? May I have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, Christian, in reference to 19192, I move that the board take no action with agency discretion.
Is there a second?
Chairman, I'll second that to see what the vote looks like.
I have a motion and a second. Would there be any additional discussion before I ask for a vote? Having none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
And the motion carries. We're going to move on to case number 19-111. Mr. Caldwell?
Mr. Chairman, could you just state for the record again that in that last vote that Chief Bradall was not present and did not participate in the vote?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
That's noted. Thank you very much for reminding me. And Mr. Caldwell, back to 19-111.
Yes, sir. So my last case today is in reference to Mr. Lohman. When this incident or this series of incidents occurred, he was a recruit at the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office Training Academy. A fellow recruit disclosed that Lohman made inappropriate remarks to one of their classmates, an African-American female. Academy staff determined Lohman made statements of a racially insensitive nature to the African-American female recruit over the course of their training. For example, on numerous occasions, Mr. Lohman referred to the recruit as, quote, "you people," unquote. The African-American recruit told Academy staff she did not want Lohman to get in trouble. However, she was offended by his conduct and statements and really only brought the complaint forward because she tried to remedy the situation herself and was unsuccessful in doing so. Mr. Lohman told Academy staff that his statements were taken out of context or misunderstood, and he had no intent to create a hostile environment at the Academy. He was removed from the Academy and terminated from his agency. Arizona Post data has researched similar fact-based circumstances and cases and recommends to the board that you take no action with agency discretion. I'd be glad to answer any questions you all might have about this case.
No questions or comments. We have a motion.
You know what, Mr. Chairman? There seems to be a couple other comments that were made other than "you people." And they were both, what I would, I guess what I was asked is, they appear to be racially motivated commentary by the recruit to the other recruit. Is that not correct?
The "you people" was just sort of to summarize a number of his comments. He also made additional comments as well that the recruit took to be offensive at the time they were made.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
We have a motion.
I have a question. If we go with the no action agency discretion and we were to apply to another agency and come forward, would that constitute a new agency discretion, or what would that consideration look like?
It would be resolved in the future, right?
I'm not sure I understand your question, ma'am. I think that basically we're saying that if another agency decides to appoint him, and as long as he goes through the background process and meets post standards, then it will be up to them to go ahead and appoint him at that time.
Just to clarify, this specific incident, if the board chooses to go in that direction of no action agency discretion, this specific incident would not preclude this person from becoming a peace officer again. From our standards, it would be up to the individual agency that wanted to employ him.
So agency discretion are resolved in the future. What's the difference?
Mr. Chairman, Colonel. Basically, the difference is, in this case, this was a complete investigation. We had all of the information. Traditionally, we resolve in the future for cases where someone resigns in lieu of, and there's not a complete investigation. So there's questions we just weren't able to get answers to. In this case, we felt like we had all the information we needed to make to present a complete picture to the board for your discretion.
And just to clarify, too, Mr. Lohman, his statements didn't necessarily deny making the statements. He just said they were misinterpreted.
Sure.
Yes.
So an agency that would possibly entertain hiring this individual would have this full information available.
That is correct, sir.
So that's if we vote for agency discretion. If we vote no action, then they would not have the information available?
Since an SOI, which is essentially a case number, was initiated, when an agency checks him in our database, which is called CLEARS, it's going to show up that there was a previous investigation, and they'd be able to reach out to us and get the information regarding this case.
And because he's never been certified, though, he's not under our guise anything past that. We don't have the...
Well, he was appointed, so we do have jurisdiction once he's appointed. He was actually attending the academy. Yes, sir.
Any other questions?
So, Mr. I'm still kind of confused on. So if we don't take an action, it's still available for agency to find out that this individual made these comments.
Absolutely, yes, sir.
We refer it back to agency discretion, it's basically the same effect.
If Mr. Lohman actually applies at another agency and goes through that background process, obviously he'd be required to be honest and forthright with the circumstances surrounding this case. But if you decide to take no action, agency discretion, as the director said, from a post standpoint, the case would have sort of been decided, he'd be eligible for appointment. As long as he passed all the other aspects of
right.
The
case.
Yes, sir.
Motion, please.
So I'm going to, Frank Milstead, Arizona DPS. I'm going to make a motion that we initiate proceedings.
I don't think there's any place for that commentary in our line of work.
I have a second.
I have a motion and a second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries to initiate proceedings. We're moving on to 19-021, the second. Thank you, Mr. Caldwell.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Arlene Heckel, one of your compliance specialists. Deputy Harrelson worked for the Graham County Sheriff's Office for 13 years. He resigned his position December 20th, 2018. On February 28th, 2018, Deputy Harrelson's wife, Mrs. E.M.E., contacted the Sheriff's Office to report a domestic violence incident that occurred between the two of them almost a year prior, so it would have been March 2017. She advised the sheriff's office that she and Deputy Harrelson were in an argument. He pushed her back on the bed, held her down by putting one hand on her throat. He had a gun in the other hand, held it to her head, and threatened to kill her. She said she told him to go ahead, shoot me, and it shocked him, and he got up and left the residence, and that was the end of the fight. Due to the criminal nature of the complaint, Graham County contacted Cochise County to do the criminal investigation. During the investigation, Deputy Harrelson denied all those accusations. There was no witnesses and no other evidence, so the criminal case was closed due to the long delay of reporting, the lack of witnesses and lack of evidence, and no probable cause for an arrest. At that point, Graham County started an internal investigation. They also re-interviewed all parties. Both Ms. M.E. and Deputy Harrelson stuck to their stories. And they had developed no new information, so they were unable to prove or disprove this allegation. However, during the investigation, a few other acts of domestic violence were uncovered. The first incident, in June of 2017, Deputy Harrelson and Ms. M.E. were arguing in their kitchen. Deputy Harrelson admits to belly bumping or pushing her with his belly to push her back away from him. And he said he did this to lighten the mood. She felt it was an assault. That was the day that she told him to move out, and they separated and later divorced. The second incident, a family friend witnessed the Harrelsons fighting in their kitchen, and she saw him, Deputy Harrelson, push Miss M.E. to the floor. Miss M.E. later told the friend that it caused a bruise. She couldn't remember exactly when that happened, but she thought it was about 2015. A third incident, and Deputy Harrelson had a minor child who's underage at the time. She remembers that Deputy Harrelson had actually pushed Miss M.E. into the wall when she was trying to leave the residence. She didn't fall. She just went back and hit the wall. And the child said she was 9 or 10 at the time, which would have put that about 2014 or 2015. Deputy Harrelson's adult daughter also remembers that he saw Deputy Harrelson push Miss M.E. with his shoulder and push her back into the wall. Now, we don't know if this was the same incident as the minor child or if it was two separate incidents. She said that also occurred in 2015. And the fourth incident of domestic violence, Deputy Harrelson admitted to punching two holes in the walls of their residence and one hole in a bedroom door at the residence during arguments and out of anger, which all those events occurred in 2014 or prior. On December 12th, 2018, Graham County Sheriff's Office sustained two policy violations against Deputy Harrelson, one for moral turpitude and one conduct unbecoming a member. On December 20th, 2018, Deputy Harrelson resigned from the Graham County Sheriff's Office. Arizona Post research has shown in similar cases the board has initiated proceedings, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
No questions. May I have a motion?
Frank Milstead, initiate proceedings. Pat Medina, second.
Motion, second. Discussion.
All those myself in the room.
Recused from the vote, and all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And we're moving on to 19-035, the second.
This case involves Officer Schuler, who worked for the Maricopa Police Department for almost 3 years. He resigned his position March 2, 2019. On September 7, 2018, Officer Schuler was driving his personal vehicle on the interchange of State Routes 101 and the 202. He hit the median wall, but was able to keep driving. He pulled off when he got to the nearest exit, and he pulled off the freeway into a parking lot at Alma School and Germain in Chandler. A witness had been following him, saw him hit the wall, called DPS at the time. Once he pulled off into Chandler, the call was transferred to Chandler Police Department. The Chandler police officer noticed that Officer Schuler was sweating profusely and visibly shaking. The officer believed he was impaired, so he administered a PBT test, and it showed all zeros for alcohol. Officer Schuler also consented to an HGN test and field sobriety test, but those tests did show impairment. Officer Schuler admitted to taking a hydrocodone pill 4 hours prior to driving. He also admitted to taking Ambien and Adderall. He does have a prescription for the hydrocodone due to a recent elbow surgery. During an inventory search of the vehicle, two prescription bottles were found. One of the bottles contained 74 Xanax pills, and the other bottle contained 16 Adderall pills. And Officer Schuler does not have a prescription for either one of those drugs. Officer Schuler was assigned to his home for during the criminal investigation, so he was on admin leave while he was at home. On November 14th, Officer Schuler's lab results came back for his blood, and it contained Ambien, Xanax, and oxycodone. The pills in the prescription bottles were also sent to DPS for analysis. They did come back as Xanax and methamphetamine. Officer Schuler was charged then with one count of impaired to the slightest degree, one count of DUI drugs, both misdemeanors, two counts of possession of dangerous drugs, class 4 felonies for the prescription bottles of pills. On March 1st, while Officer Schuler was still on admin leave at home, he was involved in another hit and run in his personal vehicle. He drove into the yard of a residence and hit a tree. He then drove away. A witness called the Chandler Police Department and then followed Officer Schuler. A Chandler police officer located Officer Schuler driving his vehicle and pulled him over. The officer immediately smelled alcohol and saw visible signs of impairment, and a DUI investigation was initiated. Officer Schuler admitted to drinking 4 to 5 beers. A PBT test showed a reading of 0.096 alcohol. Officer Schuler also admitted to taking the following prescription medications: Xanax, Lexapro, which is an antidepressant, Flexeril, which is a muscle relaxant, and Trazodone, which is also an antidepressant. Officer Schuler resigned from the Maricopa Police Department the following day. On May 14th, Officer Schuler pled guilty to one count of DUI drugs for the September 7th, 2018 arrest. All of the other charges were dismissed on that case. On July 26th, Officer Schuler pled guilty to one count DUI drugs from the March 1st, 2019 arrest. All other charges were dismissed. Arizona Post research shows that in similar cases, the board has initiated proceedings. I would be happy to answer any questions.
Having none, may I have a motion?
Sure. I make a motion that the board accept the information and initiate proceedings.
I'll wait for a second. Chief Kelly and a second. And Chief Rodbell, any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Ms. Heckler. We're moving on to 19-084, Mr. Jacobs.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the board, Steve Jacobs, compliance specialist. First case involves a former officer with the Sahara Police Department. who on April 19th of 2019 was working for Stone Garden. That is a federally government-funded program whereby state-certified officers work for to supplement, provide additional patrol to support illegal border crossings and drugs and narcotic operations. During this particular day, this officer, along with other Santa Rita officers, came upon a group of persons that they suspected to have crossed the border illegally. They made a detention and called U.S. Border Patrol. During this detention, Officer Rodriguez Cuenca took detained a gentleman who reportedly surrendered $200 to this officer. The person had removed the money that was concealed in the tongues of his shoes, and with the understanding that the officer was going to go back into the desert where this person was taken into custody, retrieve his backpack with his personal belongings in it, put the money in the backpack, and turn it over to U.S. Customs, our Border Patrol. The officer agreed to do that, did go retrieve the backpack. However, after the individual was taken to custody by Customs and transported to the detention facility, he found that the $200 was missing. The investigation found that this officer had reported to other officers that he had found obtained about $200 from this person. When interviewed, the officer denied it. Flatly denied obtaining any money from this person that he detained, and also said that the only backpack that he had handled during his contact with these people was the backpack of the person he detained, and the backpack had been surrendered to Customs. He was confronted with the information that had been obtained from other officers. Other officers had reported during their interviews that this officer did report having received about $200 in cash. And even one officer said he saw a roll of money that this officer had in his possession. He did not know how much was there or how many bills, but he knew it was more than the single 20 that was wrapped around the outside of the wad of money. Later in the interview, the officer changed his mind and said, oh, yes, he did give me $20, but that's all the money I got. And when they asked what happened to it, he said he lost it. He was again confronted with the fact that officers told him about the $200, and he said he must have lost the money while searching other backpacks. The backpacks that he had first denied touching any backpack other than the person he detained. Then he said that he had searched all the backpacks that had been confiscated from the people detained. And it was later found out that those, before he had got back from obtaining the backpack from this individual, those backpacks had already been removed from scene by U.S. Customs. Are there any questions? And similar fact where there's been dishonesty, the board has initiated proceedings.
Thank you very much. And let it be noted that Director Milstead is not here for this vote or this motion. And with that, may I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I recommend case number 19-084 that the board initiate proceedings.
Paul Ayler, I'll second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Jacobs. And we're moving on to your next case, 19-201.
Yes, sir. This involves a former recruit, cadet, from the Pima County Sheriff's Department, who, while attending the Pima County Sheriff's Department Academy, made remarks that were racially insensitive. A gentleman, another cadet, was talking to a third cadet, and he was talking about wrestling with his kids, and they were getting ready to start defensive tactics training that day, and he was talking about the wrestling and so forth. This recruit Wood overheard the conversation and injected that he should have thrown the spick to the ground. And it be noted that the officer that he was addressing was a Hispanic, and and rightly so, was offended by the remark. The person was removed from the academy and, terminated by the department. Are there any questions?
Questions or comments? Just a reminder, we just had one similar with the motion. So having said that, I would ask for a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I would recommend that the board initiate proceedings in case number 1921.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
Don Bischoff, second.
A motion and a second. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Jacobs, thank you. Mr. Ernest, good morning, sir. Good afternoon, I should say. And we're on 19058.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. This case involves Officer Kelvin Boswell, formerly with the Gila River Police Department. A little bit of background before I get into the case is in October 2018, Officer Boswell had his Gila River Police Department AR-15 type rifle stolen from his patrol car while it was parked in front of his residence. And then approximately 2 months later, on December 28, 2018, the Avondale Police Department responded to Officer Kelvin's, Officer Boswell's residence to take a report of a stolen AR-15 rifle, along with a SWAT ballistic vest and a duffel bag with assorted law enforcement equipment in it. Officer Boswell told the Avondale Police Department investigator that while on duty, he received a call from his son that his dog had bit him and that he was bleeding. Officer Boswell then left work, responded to his house. When he got home, he stated that he removed his AR-15, his black duffel bag, and his canine. He's a canine officer. He locked his patrol car, but left his ballistic vest in the patrol car. Went inside, he unloaded his AR-15, put his AR-15 and the black duffel bag by the front door along with the keys to his patrol car, just inside his residence, but by the front door. Then during the night, his wife saw somebody, she looked out the front window, saw somebody by his patrol car, advises Officer Boswell, he goes out to investigate. When he's out there, there's nobody there. But the door of his patrol car is open, and he realizes his SWAT vest is missing from the patrol car. At that point, he goes back into his residence and looks and notices that his AR-15 is gone, along with the black duffel bag that was by it inside his residence. But the patrol car keys are still hanging up right by the door. Officer Boswell told the investigators that he believed what happened was a suspect broke into his house, used the key fob, or saw the AR-15 in the duffel bag, took those, used the key fob on the keys to unlock his patrol car, and took his SWAT vest. The criminal investigator, when questioned, said there was no forced entry into the house and there was no forced entry into the patrol car. Officer Boswell stated that she went outside earlier that evening and came back in, and she may not have locked the door to their residence. One of their neighbors has a video surveillance camera, and it showed a Dodge Ram pickup truck coming down the road, stops in the vicinity of Officer Boswell's residence. A couple people get out of the vehicle. They leave sight of the surveillance camera for about 3 minutes. They get back in the Dodge Ram pickup truck, and it leaves. On January 2nd, Phoenix Police Department arrests a suspect who has the stolen AR-15 in his possession. They also find the SWAT vest and the black duffel bag in the bed of that stolen Ram pickup truck. For Avondale PD, a criminal investigator goes out and interviews the suspect. The suspect says that him and some friends were out driving around, and they were getting into unlocked vehicles, looking for unlocked vehicles and entering and taking whatever they could take. That he took the AR-15 from a unlocked police vehicle that was parked in a driveway in Avondale.
He said the rifle was just sitting behind the seat. When he took the rifle and got back into a Dodge Ram pickup truck. The suspect said that he took the rifle out that night, him and his buddies, and shot the rounds out of it, out in the desert. He was questioned if him and his friends ever entered any residence, and they said no. All they did is enter cars that were unlocked during that night. The Gila River Police Department believed that Officer Boswell was less than truthful as related to the theft of his AR-15, and so they terminated his employment. At this time, we are unable to prove, we post, if Officer Boswell was truthful or less than truthful during the investigation relating to the theft of the AR-15 rifle. So it's staff's recommendation that this case be resolved in the future. Because basically we have his statements, we have the suspect's statements, and there's no way to collaborate with which one is actually true. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions? Motion, please.
Frank Mustad, I make a motion that we resolve in the future. And I'll repeat a second.
Motion and a second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and we are moving on to case number 9-19-204. Mrs. Waite, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. Chairman, members of the board, Lori Waite, one of your compliance specialists. This first case, case 19-204, I'm going to present this case to you, a short synopsis, then we'll show you about a 2-minute, 15-second video, and then I'll wrap it up with the conclusion. This case involves Officer Kurzaya, currently with the Tempe Police Department. On June 15th of this year, Officer Kurzaya, along with several other officers from Tempe Police Department, responded to a domestic disturbance. Information obtained prior to the officer's arrival indicated that the suspect, Mr. I.O., was intoxicated and had pushed a female. Officer Kurzaya made contact with Mr. I.O. inside the apartment and attempted to detain him, who Mr. I.O. at that point decided he wanted to refuse verbal commands by backing away from the officer. The suspect also positioned himself in a fighting stance, threatening officers with physical violence, and at one point he decided to pick up his one-year-old son. After multiple verbal commands by multiple officers to put the child down and comply, the suspect continued to resist. Officer Kurzaya deployed his department-issued taser to gain compliance from the suspect. The suspect was taken into custody without further incident and charged with several domestic violence-related charges. The one-year-old child was not injured. So the video is about 2 minutes and 15 seconds, and then I'll wrap it up for you.
No, right. You guys are in my house. I don't like it.
Don't fucking shoot me low. If I drop my gun.
You need to drop the kid. I don't want your baby to get hurt.
Don't touch me.
Drop the goddamn kid.
Stop touching me.
Do it.
The Use of Force Committee with the Tempe Police Department reviewed the evidence and body camera footage and determined there were no policy or procedural violations, determining that the use of force was reasonable under the circumstances in this case. The Arizona Post staff has researched similar fact-based circumstances and cases and recommends to the board that you take no action with agency discretion. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions? Motion, please.
On Bishop, I move that we take no action. Leave it to agency discretion.
Thank you, sir. Is there a second?
I'll stay second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Ms. Waite, we're moving on to 19025.
Yes, sir. Last case of the day. This is on Christy Porras, formerly with the Tucson Police Department. In September of 2018, an internal affairs investigation was commenced. Reference allegations that Porras was leaving her patrol division without notifying her supervisor, unplugging her GPS from her patrol vehicle, and using improper checkout procedures for her lunch, her breaks, and doing admin paperwork. The investigation determined Porras was going to her house, which was located outside of her patrol division, without supervisory approval. The reason she gave is because she didn't want members of her squad to know where she lived, and she did not want other officers, to include her supervisor, to know that she was leaving the division. What she would do is she would check out at an intersection close to her residence that was actually in her patrol division. She would unplug the GPS to disable her location, and then she would go home for lunch, use the bathroom, or work on administrative tasks. So the agency asked her specifically about one date, the date of October 5th, 2018. She was at her residence for 2 hours and 10 minutes. They asked her what she was doing there, and she indicated on her patrol log that she was doing administrative duties. But when they interviewed her, she said, well, I don't really remember. I probably stayed on a call or just went home and ate lunch. So they did an audit of her computer activity on October 5th, the date in question, and the activity did not support her claim that she was working on admin duty. She had worked on none in 2 hours and 10 minutes. So they interviewed her a second time, and when she was confronted with this conflicting information, she was unable to provide a task that she was doing or why she was at home for that extended period of time. She was terminated from the agency February 11th of this year. She appealed her termination, and she was allowed to resign in lieu of termination for the city of Tucson. Be happy to answer any questions. We've researched similar fact-based circumstances for you and recommend to the board that you initiate proceedings.
Questions? May I have a motion?
Right, Nelson, I move that we initiate proceedings.
Paul Ehler, I'll second.
Motion is second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Director Giordano, any future agenda items you want to bring up as listed?
None for me unless the board has something they'd like us to take a look at.
No. I would like to say, as the last meeting of this year, I'd like to thank all the post employees for such a long, hard year, good work. Appreciate it very, very much. I want to thank all the board members for their service. Welcome the new board members, and Merry Christmas to all, and a Happy New Year. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.